The Arts in Stevens Point and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward. Mile of Music in Appleton. Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
And Espen Simpson not able to get through the eighth inning, but still a very good appearance from him so far into the night. And it comes up to Tony Torres to finish things off here as he'll come back out with two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning and generally considered the closer for the Raptors. He made an appearance just a couple days ago to make sure that that arm was staying hot. He hadn't pitched in a week prior to his last appearance, which he made just 2 days ago. That was yesterday that he made the appearance against the Dock Spiders. He threw 29 pitches in a scoreless inning. Back at Witter Field, looking to do it on the road here. First pitch on the way is fouled off. Matt Hansen at the plate, and I was talking about this earlier. He is a Raptors killer. He has played against the Raptors 3 times this season. This is game number 4, and in the previous 3 games, he's picked up 6 hits in 13 at-bats. 0-1 count has popped up, and for the first time this game, they might actually have him retired. Eric Parker trailing back into the outfield, and he drops the ball! Eric Parker drops it as Hankerson comes home to score. So Torres can't get out of the inning quite yet, and Matt Hansen gets on base for the 5th time this game. And after playing a perfect game up to this point, that the first error from the Raptors today, and Eric Parker, he had made 3 errors in the game yesterday and makes one here defensively tonight. Reaching into the later hours of the afternoon, I'm never sure whether to call it evening or afternoon, and so I say night because that's the only one that doesn't fit. 1-0 count as that pitch missed high to Jonathan Fitz. And he swings and misses at this pitch to bring it 1-1. T.P. Wentworth went all the way over to third base on Hansen's fly ball. And James Hankerson Jr. came home to score. All of these runs are going to be unearned as it's a 1-1 count that misses low and away to bring it 2-1. So a 2-1 count from Tony Torres with runners on the corners, and this pitch is fouled back 2-2. And Torres, he already has a save on the season. You go back and look at the bullpen chart. He's 1-for-2 in save opportunities. Looking to make it 2-for-3. He's got a 2-2 count to Fitz. It misses in the dirt. Bounces up and gets away from Adrian. Goes all the way to the backstop. Matt Hansen over to second as T.P. Wentworth comes home to score on the wild pitch. It is now 9-8. A one-run game in the bottom of the eighth. And the Dock Spiders trying to make the 4-run comeback. And it's these little mistakes that have been compounding for the Rafters really all season, but especially against the Dock Spiders. 3-2 count coming home, and that is inside just by the slightest of misses for ball number four. And Jonathan Fitz on over to first base. Runners on first and second with two outs for Jaron Cotton. Or Jaron Cotton, he's at the plate, right-handed batter from the University of Nebraska. First and second, the Dock Spiders. It's a one-run Rafters lead in the bottom of the eighth. Pitch coming home, it's a swing and a miss to bring it 0-1. Cotton, he is 1-for-2 in the game with a pair of walks and runs scored. He's got three stolen bases, and he also singled. That was back in the second inning. 0-1 count from Torres coming home. It misses low and away. Brings it 1-1. And the runner on second base, Matt Hansen. On first, Jonathan Fitz. Kelson Johnson on deck if it gets to him. 1-1 count from the right-hander. Check swing. Did he go? Yeah, he did. 1-2 the count. Fans not happy about it here, and now a 1-2 count to Cotton, down to the last strike of the eighth inning. Torres trying to keep the Rafters up one. It's 9-8. And he had to work through a couple of errors last time as pitch clock violation is called on Torres. Brings it to a 2-2 count. So 2-2 with two outs. This one down the third base line, picked up by Onyadi, who will dive head first for third base and get him with the force out. So it goes five unassisted on the fielder's choice, and an interesting way to do it. But hey, it gets the job done. That's three outs in the inning, but three runs came across to score on the one hit, one error, and they left two on base. It is 9-8 Rafters. Into the ninth we go. We'll come back with more here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
First pitch to Madden Akko is called a strike. It's an 0-1 count in the top of the ninth inning. Raptors up one. Akko swings and misses at the second offering to bring it 0-2 as the Raptors look to add to their narrow advantage. Tony Torres came into the game to finish out the eighth inning. He's on the line for the save right now. We'll see if he comes back out for the next frame. 0-2 count, misses just outside. Not by much there. That's a great pitch from Gunnar Gilmore, and a lot of times you're going to get the swing, but not from Akko. Trying to get on base for his third time today. He's 1-for-3 from the plate. 1-2 on the way home. It's popped high in the air towards left field. On the run back, the third baseman who will make the catch for out number one. Jalen Gellings under it and able to make the play. Brings up Chris Diaz to the plate with one out and nobody on in the top of the ninth. And the Raptors looking to get their second win of the season against the Dock Spiders. On the season series, it's 2-1. The Dock Spiders have the advantage thanks to last night's win. All three games have been played at Witter Field so far. This is the first one at Hare Baker Field. Chris Diaz at the plate takes the first pitch outside for ball number one, a 1-0 count. And Diaz, he is 0-for-3 from the plate, but drew a walk his last time up in the seventh inning. 1-0 count, a breaking ball that drops in there for strike one, and that was a slow pitch, 71 miles an hour on the gun, but hey, location, 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 and spin rate, in that case, mattered a lot. 1-1 count, another breaking ball, but this time it misses well below the zone, and Diaz is able to hold off on the swing to bring it 2-1. Diaz, he might be 0-for-3, but all three times he's put the ball into play. The ground out, three unassisted back in the fifth inning. A fly ball towards left field. It's dropping into foul territory. Diving over the back. Did he make the catch? No, he didn't. Just dropped out of his glove. Would have been an incredible play out there by the third baseman Gellings, but couldn't quite bring it in as it dropped in foul territory and rolls 2-2. He was fading out towards left field and tried catching that one over the shoulder like a football player, but couldn't quite grab it. So it's a 2-2 count to Diaz. Left-handed hitting right fielder. It's the lefty-righty matchup. 2-2 count. Swing and a miss at the breaking ball, and he couldn't time it up. That's out number two on the strikeout. Gunnar Gilmore, he has now retired seven consecutive batters. Rafters just not able to see him on his pitches. And it's partly because of that breaking ball. It's been very good. Gilmore is getting a little bit up there in the pitch count, though. He's up over 40, but looking to finish off the ninth inning here and maybe won't see another inning played as this one drops in there for strike number one. The Raptors hoping that another inning won't be played. 0-1 the count to Costin. He grounds one high in the air towards the pitcher's mound. He'll make the throw back to first in time for out number three. The Raptors go down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning, and it remains a one-run game. Three outs away. Raptors got to finish it off. When we come back, you're on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP county commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claim that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Bottom of the ninth coming your way from Fond du Lac. It's 9-8 Rafters. And a new pitcher coming into the game, Jafet Martinez, trying to lock it down as he came into the game yesterday. Was dominant. He went 1-2-3 against the Dock Spiders before he came out of the game. And, well, here he follows up Tony Torres, who recorded the hold, the first hold of the season for the Rafters, as the bullpen tries to keep on to this one. It is 9-8 Rafters, and the batters do up this inning for the Dock Spiders. It's their 7-8-9 batters, starting with Kelson Johnson. It'll be followed by Marcus Romero and Jalen Gellings. Johnson, a right-handed hitting right fielder for the Dock Spiders. He's 2-for-3 on the day already. His first look at Jafet Martinez tonight. The first pitch coming home, it is right in there for strike number one on the fastball. 0-1 the count. And looking back at yesterday's game, Johnson did not play for the Dock Spiders, so he didn't get a chance to look at Martinez later in the game. Romero didn't either, but Jalen Gellings did. 0-1 count, misses low for ball number one. It's a 1-1 count, so not much to see here. And Gellings didn't get a chance to actually play against Martinez, as he was not up to bat in the eighth inning when Martinez went yesterday. Swing and a miss here brings it 1-2. So none of these three batters that are due up have had an at-bat against Martinez here in these last two games. Kelson Johnson down in the count, 1-2, and Martinez looking to finish it off, and he steps off the mound real quick. Now gets back on, ready to go, and he comes inside, and that hits Kelson Johnson, and a big miss there. That's an important base runner, represents the tying runner, and he is on to first base. Martinez not able to bring it with that one, and now it brings up a pinch hitter, Jaron Sanderson. And Sanderson, he replaces Marcus Romero. Runner on first base with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Martinez brings it home on the fastball, but it misses a little low for ball number one. Sanderson, the right-handed hitting pinch hitter, he enters today batting .286 on the season with 8 RBIs. Cal State Northridge collegiate player, as this one is fouled back to bring the count even at 1-1. And looking at the reliever stats, Martinez has had just one save opportunity and went down as a blown save for him, but he's shown some good signs on the mound. 1-1 count, gets a swing and a miss here to bring it 1-2, and he's totaled 8 2/3 innings in the season so far. He's been one of the more reliable relievers. He has really limited the walks this season. 3 walks over 8 2/3, one of the better marks for a Rafters pitcher. 1-2 count on the way home to Sanderson, and he gets a piece of it, fouls it back to the backstop, and he stays alive at the plate as the Bee Gees are playing here in the stadium. Plenty of fans still here in the stands. Great day at the ballpark, and the Rafters hoping that it'll go their favor. It's a one-run ball game in the bottom of the ninth. Runner on first base with nobody out. Martinez to Sanderson. It's again barely touched as he fouls it backwards, and it remains a 1-2 count. And Marcus Romero, who Jaron Sanderson replaced, ended the night going 0-for-4 from the plate with an RBI. Sanderson, he came in as a pinch hitter in yesterday's game as well. Runner taking off. This one's hit to the left side and into left field. So here comes the runner over to third base, and they are on the corners with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. A pinch hit single from Jaron Sanderson. Now watch out for the Dock Spiders. They are crawling their way back into this one as a pinch runner comes on for Jaron Sanderson. As the pinch runner is Miles Vandenuvel, one of the two-way players. Just trying to go for some speed out there, and that's what they want. He represents the go-ahead runner. Really, nobody behind him matters right now. Rafters have the one-run lead, and the infield all in talking things over. And because of that, Mike Spears will go out and talk strategy as well with Jafet Martinez. And Martinez has to work through the pressure right here. Rafters have the lead, but only by one run. It's 9-8, and that game-tying runner is on third base. You really need a strikeout here or a pop-up of some sort. Those are about your only two options. Maybe a liner towards one of the infielders. But other than that, you got to get the out here and keep that runner over on third. 9-8, the Rafters lead in the bottom of the ninth. Runners on the corners. Bunt attempt down the first base line, and it just goes foul. Jalen Gellings not able to pick up the RBI there. Trying to put down the sacrifice bunt and give the Dock Spiders the lead. It's an 0-1 count. Runners on first and third. And Jalen Gellings, he went 4-for-5 from the plate yesterday. Today has not quite been as hot. 0-for-2 with a hit-by-pitch and a walk. I'm really just looking to come up clutch. 0-1, he shows down the bunt down the first base line. It's toward home, the flip, and they got him at the plate. Oh, a big play by first baseman Madinako, who ran up on the bunt. And the runner, who was on first, goes over to second. So Miles Vandenuvel over to second on Jalen Gellings. Failed bunt attempt. Officially goes as a fielder's choice. 3-2. Kelson Johnson out at home. Runners on first and second, and a huge play for the Rafters. One out in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters remain in the lead by one. Martinez going up against the leadoff man, Patrick Graham. And the first pitch on the way. This one is hit high in the air towards left field. Under it, Royce Clayton. He's running up. He'll make the catch. Vandenuvel stays on second base. And the Dock Spiders down to their last out here in the ninth inning. Brings up James Hankerson Jr. with the game on the line. Tying runner is at second. Go-ahead runner at first base. A double could walk it off for the Dock Spiders. So would a home run. And James Hankerson Jr., he's 1-for-4 on the game. Left-handed batter against the righty on the mound, Martinez. Martinez looking for his first save of the season. He looks back to second. Now brings the pitch home. It's in there, called strike number one. Hankerson didn't swing at it and keeps the bat on his shoulders. Trying to stay patient up there in a high-pressure situation. One-run lead for the Rafters. You're in the bottom of the ninth. Hankerson trying to do some damage. He's got a runner in scoring position. The 0-1 count. It's upstairs for ball number one. One and one count. Hankerson singled back in the eighth inning. He came around to score on it as well, but his run here wouldn't matter. 1-1 count. It's outside to bring it 2-1. Hankerson did draw a walk back in the sixth inning, and he's reached his last two times after starting the game 0-3. Struck out looking in the first inning. He's just gotten better as the game's continued. 2-1 count with two away on the pitch home. It misses outside. And Hankerson, he'd be more than fine with a walk here because it would load the bases and, more importantly, push that go-ahead runner to second and the tying runner to third. Right now, they're at first and second with two outs. The 3-1 count from Martinez. He brings the leg up, sends it home, gets a swing and a miss. Dock Spiders down to their last strike in the game. Martinez trying to finish it off and get the Rafters back in the win column. Trying to have a happy bus ride back. It's a full count with two outs. The pitch on the way, runners going, it's fouled off. And with runners going at this point in time, a single to the outfield might even be enough to drive home that runner from first. Jalen Gellings, he's a quick guy over there, so you got to watch out for him taking off for those extra bags as he'll be taking off as soon as he can. 3-2 count, it's outside for ball number four, and they are loaded. Hankerson Jr. goes to first base. Jalen Gellings goes to second, and Miles Vandenuvel is at third. The tying runner at third base, the go-ahead runner at second. There are two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Jafet Martinez trying to finish the game on a good note for the Rafters. The first pitch here is called for strike number one, T.P. Wentworth. The man from Clemson University, 6'6", 230. He's got a lot of power in that frame and hoping to come up clutch here. The 0-1 count coming home. It's sent up the middle toward shortstop. Parker's there. He'll field it. Try and flip it to second, and no, it's dropped. Parker couldn't quite make the throw in time, and it is tied at 9-9. Eric Parker tried to go to second and not the right decision. Had plenty of time to throw to first, but went to second instead. And it's an E6, the second error of the game from Eric Parker. After making three errors last night, he's now made five errors in two games. And I believe all of them have resulted in runs being scored. The first pitch here to Matt Hansen is outside for ball number one, and the Rafters had the game in their hands. But instead, it is now tied. 9-9 in the bottom of the ninth. Martinez hoping to get out of this one. He sends the pitch home. It's a high chopper to right field, and that gets on through. Dock Spiders win. Final score, 10-9. It's a walk-off hit from Matt Hansen. He gets the RBI, and once again, the errors have doomed the Rafters. They walk it off at home. That does it. Not the way that the Rafters wanted their night to end. They fought hard, and after such a clean game, it all turned around in the eighth inning. Once again, final score, 10-9. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, post-game show for you. Not good news on this Father's Day, and Well, hope you did enjoy the broadcast. And stay tuned because we've got a lot to talk about on the postgame show. Talking about how it went down, looking at the stats, and what comes next for the Rafters here at WFHR Wisconsin.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Matt Hansen walked it off against the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was his fourth hit of the game as he continued to stay hot against the Rafters. And on the season, man, this guy, I mean, he is just bad, bad news for the Rafters. He had a 5 RBI game in his debut for the Dock Spiders against the Rafters at Witterfield. He went 3-for-4 in that game. Then the next game went 1-for-4 with an RBI. And yesterday against the Rafters, 2-for-5 with a run scored. And, well, now today he has the walk-off hit in a 4-hit game, probably the best game that he's had this season. And, man, it's just such a disappointing way to end the game as well, because you look at the way that things have gone, and the Rafters, they played so well up until the very end of the game. And the errors, they cause so many runs to come across there, as the Rafters should have been out of it. All of those last few runs of the game, they were unearned. I mean, they were. And that's the thing. You look at Jafet Martinez, no earned runs allowed. Tony Torres, no earned runs allowed. And only one earned run allowed by Espen Simpson. The last 4 runs that came across were all unearned runs. Again, you take out the unearned runs in the game, the Rafters win 9-6. But you have to count those, because that's what the score is based upon, and they have got to get better at these defensive errors, because right now it's just simple things like that that are causing the Rafters to take a downfall here. And, well, they drop their 4th game in a row. It's a season-long losing streak, as they have to get back on track at home tomorrow night. They'll be taking on the Traverse City Pit Spitters in the first of 2 games. But before we talk about that, let's take a look back at how it happened. First inning, it was 1-2-3 for both teams. Second inning, the Dock Spiders finally got on the board with an RBI fielder's choice from Marcus Romero. It was 1-0. But top of the third inning, the Rafters scored 2 thanks to Mason Onyade's 2 RBI double to make it 2-1. Then in the bottom of the fourth inning, that was when the next run came across, the Dock Spiders tie it up 2-2 on Kelson Johnson's RBI single. Fifth inning comes around, Rafters score 3 runs. They lead 5-3 thanks to an RBI single from Mason Onyade, an RBI single from Gunnar Miro, and along with that, it was a stolen base from Mason Onyade taking off for home on a throw down to second on a walk. Then in the bottom of the fifth inning, well, the Dock Spiders got right back. They knotted it up 5-5 with three runs of their own. An RBI double from Matt Hansen, RBI double from Kelson Johnson as well, and a wild pitch scored Hansen himself. So 5-5 heading into the sixth inning, and then in the top of the sixth, the Rafters score four runs. It was an RBI ground out from Mason Onyade. Along with that, two RBIs on a single from Noah Ruiz, and Royce Clayton Jr. scored on a wild pitch. So at the end of that, it was 9-5 Rafters. They would not score again, but in the bottom of the eighth inning, three runs came across to make it 9-8. Those three runs, the first one came across as an earned run on the wild pitch from Espen Simpson. Well, he was pulled from the game after the four-pitch walk to T.P. Wentworth, and Tony Torres comes into the game, would have had out number three if not for the E6 that ended up scoring another run to come home, and well, that kept the inning alive, and the wild pitch then sent home. Well, the wild pitch from Torres then sent home another run and made it 9-8. Bottom of the ninth inning, and you guys just heard it. It was the walk-off from Matt Hansen after an E6 sent home another run for the Dock Spiders. So final score, 10-9. Fond du Lac wins at home. The Rafters, looking at the stats, they had some really impressive performances out there. 2-for-5 from Mason Onyade with four RBIs from him. Two RBIs from Noah Ruiz, who went 1-for-4 with a walk in the game. Also, two-hit night for Eric Parker and a two-hit night for Pat Costin as well. He reached base three times, 2-for-4 with a walk and two runs from the plate. Nick Adrian reached base three times, a walk, a hit by pitch, and also had a hit of his own. On the pitching side, man, the pitchers, once again, especially the bullpen, they looked really good. Zach Crotchfeld struggled a little bit out there. Everyone else was great. Drew Thompson, one run over two innings. Cannon Restein didn't allow a run in his one out. Espen Simpson, just one earned run over his 2 2/3. Tony Torres, no runs allowed. And Jafet Martinez, no earned runs over his 2/3 of an inning before the walk-off. And it's just tough to work around things like that, especially when Fond du Lac's got the momentum in front of the home crowd. Like I said, Rafters going to be heading home next. They take on the Traverse City Pit Spitters in the first of three straight home games. Traverse City tomorrow, it's going to be taking on Noah Marschke. Marschke out for his third time this season. He's got a 1-1 record after going five innings in the last time up. And, well, Marschke hoping to keep up his recent role. He's got a 6 ERA, and, well, the lefty looking to do some damage against the Pit Spitters. But that'll come up tomorrow. First pitch, 6:35. As always, we'll have it broadcast here on WFHR. So hope to have you tuned in as we will have the pregame show at 6:20 p.m. Again, 15 minutes early, as always. But that's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. A big thank you to all of you for joining in and tuning in for the broadcast. A happy Father's Day once again to all of the dads out there. And well, a big thank you to the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders for hosting us today. Hopefully you guys did enjoy the broadcast, even though the Rafters lose. Once again, final score, 10-9. Dock Spiders win. Rafters at home tomorrow. And until then, that's going to do it from tonight. For myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Rafters organization, thank you, and have a great rest of your night.
Yeah, it's
great. The first base umpire does a backflip.
They do all kinds
when
of
when they call their plays.
Fun stuff.
I was caught up in it. I just loved every second of it. It's like the World Wrestling Federation,
well,
right?
It makes it fun.
Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are some former players on the team as well as just crazy guys. And I got to tell you what I saw. This was just the most amazing thing ever. It was a pop fly ball in the outfield.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy reached behind himself with the glove and caught the fly ball.
Yeah. Yeah. They can do that. Yeah.
They can do that.
Not an easy thing to do.
No. Do that.
I used to try to do that in practice, but I would never have the guts to do it in a game.
All right.
But yeah.
But you know, the thing is they have the sports guy out on the field, you know, doing interviews with some of the players, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got a long leopard coat on.
Mm-hmm.
doing it. Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, what's so wrong with that?
Not a lot of times you see, you know, a professional announcer out on the field with a long leopard coat on.
It's all just fun and games.
Oh, it's high art, too.
It is, yes. Really fun stuff. Well, Savannah Bananas. You know, you can see all kinds of stuff on YouTube.
The party animals, you know, they were scoring, and they actually beat the Savannah Bananas in this particular game. But they took off their shirts, and they started playing without their shirts on. It was absolute a riot. I just love watching this. This is great stuff, you know. And by the way, they sold out. Two upcoming games at a stadium. So
they've become such a hot commodity that they took it on the road and they are filling stadiums.
Everywhere.
People love the show.
Yeah. Now you talked about they are the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yeah. Yes,
but you talked about the early days when the Harlem Globetrotters were very, very popular. But you had like a B team.
Oh yeah, there was a B team. I went to a small, I grew up in the country and went to a small rural school. And so they weren't going to get the Harlem Globetrotters to come to a little town. But there was a B team called the Harlem Satellites. And they had the same kind of uniforms and it was the same sort of show. It just wasn't the big names. It wasn't Meadowlark Lemon and Curly Neal and all those guys. But it was kind of an unknown cast of characters, but the same routine. And it filled the gym and a wonderful show. And so I remember that because I used to see the Harlem Globetrotters on TV but then saw the Harlem Satellites in person, got a bunch of autographs, had no idea who these guys were.
But they're still out there. They still travel around of course they always play the Washington Generals who always lose.
Right. The Generals are not supposed to win.
Right. They accidentally won one time.
Do you think a Meadowlark Lemon has?
He's retired. I think he passed away.
Passed away.
Years ago.
Yeah, now this is the question I always had when I watched the Harlem Globetrotters way, way back when. I was wondering why they didn't play like that in actual basketball games. Why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they make it more entertaining and fun and crazy like that? Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know, little known fact about the Harlem Globetrotters is that some professional baseball players played for the Globetrotters.
Really?
Fergie Jenkins, the Hall of Fame pitcher for the Chicago Cubs,
was
a Harlem Globetrotter for a time.
I didn't know that.
And I think Bob Gibson, somebody should correct me if I'm wrong here, but Bob Gibson, the Hall of Famer from the St. Louis Cardinals, I think also did a stint with the Globetrotters. But I know for a fact Fergie did because, all Cubs fans know that.
Wow. Fun stuff. So, Mike McCabe, you're going to go on a little trip here real soon, right?
I am going to Tanzania.
Mm. Because?
The Tanzanian tea bean, coffee beans?
out of a desire to explore.
To travel.
A lot of people don't know this about me, but I did a 2-year stint in the Peace Corps in West Africa in Mali. Which is where Timbuktu is, by the way.
Band. I love those guys.
I've been to Timbuktu.
Timbuktu 3. Sorry.
I've been to Timbuktu.
Yeah.
And Timbuktu 3 was a damn good band, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Pat McDonald. Pat McDonald and the Essentials.
Yes.
And I saw them at OK's Corral here in Madison.
I know. I think we may have been at the same show.
We probably were at the same show.
It was many years ago.
Yeah. And the band becomes Timbuktu 3.
Right.
They had some moments.
They were
stars.
They were excellent. Yeah.
But I wasn't even sure that Timbuktu was a real place.
Yes.
Because people
it sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, they kind of treat it as this mythical end of the earth or something.
Well, is it? Is it?
But it's
like
a real
that?
City. And I've been there and it's now been almost devoured by the Sahara Desert. It's really full desert, and there's sand everywhere. Mm. But it used to be a city of 100,000 people. Now it's more like 30,000 people ish, and kind of living on the edge really struggling place. Mm. It used to be so central to trade routes in West Africa, the salt trade. Salt would be brought by camel caravan to the countries like Ivory Coast, which would send up their more tropical products. It used to be a huge trade center, has a 1,000-year-old mosque, had a university, all of which is The mosque still stands. It's still you can go to a 1,000-year mosque there, but the university's closed. You know, it's a shadow of its former self, but it's still a pretty magical
now,
place.
Now it's kind of living up to its name. Yeah,
it is the end of the earth.
Going to Timbuktu.
It is. But been there. But I've never been to East Africa, so this is just a journey to you know, unexplored territory for me, at least, and looking forward to it.
Great.
So let's talk about your latest article on Substack. It's entitled, let me get back to it here, Piss Pots and Yeller Dogs. So what are you saying here? That's a headline? That's a grabber?
Now, Yeller Dog, that's something your dad told you.
Well, both of them were. The title of the article relates to, you know, motivational phrases that my dad was fond of.
Yes.
When I was not living up to his expectations, he would say, well, you're never going to have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And if he didn't get my attention with that, he would then go on and say, I ought to sell you off for a yeller dog and shoot the yeller dog.
Now, is that a reference to old Yeller?
I don't know. I think yeller dog is just sort of...
But shooting the yeller dog. I mean, that's what they did to that, old Yeller.
That was just his way of saying what he thought I was worth at that moment.
I know, but
okay.
As a reference at that point, I think maybe the movie had something to do with, you
know. It's possible. It's you know, it's kind of country talk.
Yeah.
And a way of speaking. And, and you know, Dad.
Your dad really worked. He did.
I wrote in the article, I only recall my dad taking a full day off one time.
Wow, yeah.
In my entire upbringing, he took a day off to travel 200 miles to see my youngest sister get married. My two oldest sisters were married on the farm, so he didn't have to leave. Mm-hmm. But my youngest sister had moved away, and so he took the full day off. Made me stay home, by the way, to milk the cows. So I missed my youngest sister's wedding because he wouldn't trust anybody to milk the cows who was outside the family. That's the way he was. But he worked every day, 7 days a week, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you name it. And
in a factory.
When he was basically a sharecropper earlier in life. Mm-hmm. That's the northern term for it is farming on halves, where you're a tenant farmer.
Yeah.
You do all the work. The landlord gets half of the proceeds of whatever gets produced. Mm-hmm. And he saved up enough money to buy his own farm, but he had to work in a factory. So he worked a full shift, 5 days a week. And then milked the cows before and after his shift and did the farm work on the weekends and whenever else he could squeeze it in. Tough son of a gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he expected his kids to have a similar work ethic and he pushed us hard. That was his way.
Well, it's kind of funny because you made an appearance and somebody in the crowd brought up the fact that he worked with
your
father.
Which stunned me because, you know, my dad was born in 1919 and has been dead and gone for quite some time.
Yeah. Wow.
But here's a guy who actually worked with him in that factory, elderly man now, but he must have been really young, must have been 20 years old when he worked with my dad.
Yeah. Wow. That was a great story. It was.
All right. We're visiting here with Mike McCabe, and we will continue the conversation in just a moment. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Wake Up and Sleep Better Verlo Mattresses. That's their slogan. It's been that way for many years since they opened the doors back in 1958. Some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress. Two Madison locations, east and west. Go to verlo.com for more information. Back with more with Mike McCabe in a moment.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media, as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math. making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Special guest Rich Tallarico has written for Key & Peele, including the famous substitute teacher sketch. And now, Rich talks about an upcoming story he's working on, and much, much more.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me, around Nassau town we did roam.
Welcome back. Drinking all night. You cannot, I don't know if I've ever met someone who didn't like the Beach Boys. So, Brian Wilson, I have all their albums. I cannot thank him enough for his contributions to mankind. Great stuff. Our question of the night is, what was your favorite year? On the heels of Conrad's birthday, let us know. Text us, stream us, app us, however you could do it. Christina Laurie is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk about some of our favorite Wisconsin summer foods. She puts all these lists together on Up North News. So much fun. And she gets a lot of info about Wisconsin food from the Food Network. The Food Network has favorite Wisconsin products, too. We'll talk to Christina about that at 7:20. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight, one of our frequent flyers here. He's become a good pal, and it's always fun to have him on the show. He has written for Key & Peele, SNL. And while he was at Key & Peele, by the way, Conrad, I don't know if you knew this, he wrote the substitute teacher sketch.
Oh, that's that's a great sketch.
Great sketch. And he's written for Mad TV and SNL and Jay Leno, and he's got all kinds of amazing writing credits. The very funny Mr. Rich Tallarico. Hey, buddy, how are you?
All right, Pete. Conrad, thanks for having me.
Are you hanging with Bremerton tonight?
I'm at the Bremerton place. This is one of his the ladies that he dates lives here. He doesn't live here.
Oh, okay. I imagine that. He's a mover and a shaker. You're in good company, buddy. But Rich, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How you doing?
Pretty good. So you told me the other day when we talked that you're chilling in central or near Niagara Falls, right?
Yes, I can see the mist from here. I'm very close to Niagara Falls, and I'm here for a few months. I'm producing a project based on a script of mine about the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, a lady named Annie Edson Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, is she the same person you sent me this? All right, I got confused. I thought that's outstanding. That thing, like, writes itself, I would imagine.
It really did. I went to sleep and elves came into the room and wrote it when I was sleeping.
All right. I love this. And she was not a spring chicken when this happened, right? Tell us all about Annie Edson Taylor, please.
No, she was a fall turkey at that point. She was a 63-year-old charm school teacher, Victorian, proper, taught young women how to acquire husbands through grace lessons, through manners. And she did well, and she taught around the country, kind of had some, you know, crisscrossing the U.S. teaching her classes. And she settled in Bay City, Michigan in the late 1800s and opened a charm school. But the problem was it failed because a lot of young women, as the century was turning to the 20th century, were interested in becoming suffragettes, were interested in finding a voice. They didn't care about wearing corsets and, wow, you know, acquiring husbands through grace classes. So she really hit the skids and was about to kill herself when she got a realization that she could reverse her fortunes if she became a daredevil. So the script is called The Widow Daredevil, and it's about how she does complete this stunt. Her manager, and this is based on a true story, steals her barrel and goes on a speaking tour without her. And then 10 years later, a man does the stunt and goes over the falls in a barrel and gets all the credit and accolades and world fame that she never did.
Okay, that makes sense now, because when you said that, I could swear, I didn't want to sound stupid. I was like, wait a minute, I thought a guy did that. So how did you find this story, Rich? Is it because you're from that area, or do you have a connection to the estate or something?
No. I remembered Annie because when I was younger, I grew up in near Utica, New York, in a little town called Frankfort, if anyone is familiar. And, you know, we would come to Niagara Falls for school trips. And, you know, my family took us here, and there were always displays about Annie and this little lady and her barrel that she basically reinforced and welded and did all the design. And, you know, she built straps in it for her to hold on to. And I mean, you think about like a race car driver, you know, they're going hundreds of miles an hour and they have all this protection.
Yeah.
All she had was like a little heart-shaped pillow that she kind of held in place on her head. And then they closed the barrel and the wall of the ceiling of the barrel held that, you know, heart-shaped pillow on her head. And she went over the falls. And a lot of people tried it after her. There was a guy who went over, and when they found the barrel, all that was in there was his arm. So she was, you know, very smart. She knew how to do it, and she worked hard to, you know, complete the stunt. And she famously said, "I'd rather be dead than have no money."
Every once in a while, you know, I love running across characters like this. As they get older, and it kind of plays into our theme tonight. Like Teddy Roosevelt resigned as the Undersecretary of the Navy and led a charge up a hill because he didn't want to send guys into battle. Annie Edson Taylor was broke, and she turns into a daredevil. Like, where are these people in modern day society, Rich? You don't see people like this anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know where they are. I guess we'll have to inspire some with our project. You know, the story beyond that, you know, it did end in kind of a sad way because she never really got her due, and she lost her eyesight eventually, and she moved to the falls, and she would sell these pamphlets with her life story in them. And that's how she kind of lived out her days. So for the film version, you know, I was thinking, well, I want to find what's the positive ending here, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, she taught for many generations. You know, she taught a lot of young women. They had to have been watching her. They had to have been inspired by her courage.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
And I thought, Maggie Dawn. You know,
at 4 o'clock,
a young woman
I'm joined
that,
by Matt
you know,
Rothschild. We live deep on book banning in Florida.
Right,
did you read Judy Blum? Did you like
Annie.
It?
So I kind of created
Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore.
Who is fictitious,
the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Because Annie hired
the Todd
Alvaugh
Show.
Ken, as I like to call it, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
And then I also have
the other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
You go into combat at the general.
general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come to the field and say, boy, they look big.
Rich, let's pick it up right here. The Jets lost 12 games. I mean, we're coming right back.
You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wick.
The Todd Allman Show with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Air raid sirens echo into the skies of Jerusalem. Israel and Iran traded strikes for a third straight day. And while CBS News has learned that President Trump opposed a recent Israeli plan to kill Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tells Fox,
actually, there's so many false reports of conversations that never happened, and I'm not going to get into that.
CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu went to the site of one of these attacks and said Iran would pay a very heavy price for what he described as the premeditated murder of civilians, women, and children. Shortly after he spoke, the Israeli Air Force carried out heavy strikes on Tehran in broad daylight.
A news conference is planned for next hour by the Minnesota Department of Public